Illinois State University is getting a $1.2 million federal grant to help address a severe shortage of specialists in Illinois to support infants and toddlers who are blind or deaf. The teacher shortage across many disciplines has various reasons: low pay, lack of autonomy, paperwork, burnout, lack of mentoring, just to name a few. Mary Beth Lartz is one of the coordinators of ISU's Limitless program. In this interview with Eric Stock, Lartz says there's another reason why Illinois has struggled to find enough early intervention specialists.
Many teachers that are current teachers have no idea that early intervention is even a professional field, because teacher certification for deaf and hard of hearing teachers or low vision blindness ranges from preschool through 21 years of age. So most of them have never had any training or even knowledge that there is a field of early intervention. And early intervention serves infants and toddlers through their second birthday until the day they turn three. And it is a service that's required by the federal government. And it's alive and active in Illinois, but many people don't realize that that is a field, because we don't learn about it very often in our teacher ed programs, because the teacher ed programs are filled with classes trying to prepare people to work with preschool through high school. So it's already very full.
So do you believe then that getting the word out there and making this program available to give them that training will steer more aspiring educators in that direction?
I think so. And by the fact that we're having this discussion today, I think that many people will realize now that there is a separate credential and a separate professional that can work with young infants and toddlers. It's also something that can be added on to a teaching certificate. Like, you have to have a teaching degree in deaf education to be able to get an early intervention credential to work with young infants and toddlers who are deaf and hard of hearing. So it makes a very nice package that our program is going to provide master's degree, so that people can add this on to their training and to their field of expertise, so that they can actually provide services to more children.
So when you talk about early intervention for children who are low vision or deaf, what are some examples?
Examples of the kinds of services you might provide. Well, for example, the youngest child that I've ever seen a picture of and read about getting a hearing aid was 18 days old. And I don't know about you, but I have things in my refrigerator that are older than 18 days. And so you can imagine a new family with an 18-day-old baby, because they found out through newborn hearing screening that their child could possibly have a hearing loss. And they went to the audiologist. It was confirmed. They received the diagnosis. And now the family needs to learn how to navigate the services of getting amplification, developing their child's language, determining the communication mode they're going to use, trying to decide about speech therapy and all the different services that might go with that. So not only do you have a brand new baby that you're trying to learn about and learn how to parent and raise a child, but now you have all of this additional information to learn and obstacles to get across that you weren't expecting that.
So we know that those early years are so critical to a child's development. For a child who is deaf or blind, how is that further magnified?
So, for example, a child that is blind, again, the parents most likely have had no experience with blindness. You know, they have maybe never met a blind person, or they've seen a blind person, you know, coming across the street, but they've had very little of their own interaction. And so part of early intervention is just exploring the idea that you can have typical lives, they can have typical educations and trajectories, and the parents need to learn that, because at the time they're not aware that that is a possibility. And so we like to say that we know that currently your child does not have typical development as an infant, and we need to provide services and work together, and the family needs to determine their goals so that we can work together, and then the child can have a more normalized trajectory to development.
Now, you talk about a typical life and a typical path of growing up. That might be hard to imagine for a child who is unable to hear or can't see, or they have challenges to see as a normal person, as someone of typical strength would. So how do you get them to that point? And is it because you're able to work with them at such a young age?
Yes, it's absolutely critical. We like to say in the field of deaf and hard of hearing that hearing loss is a neurological emergency, because you do have an optimal time for language learning. And as they get older, the doors are beginning to close. You could still develop language. For example, an adult can learn a second language, but it takes so much longer and it's so much harder to develop fluency. So what we need to do with children who are deaf or hard of hearing is to maximize and enhance language development. And we have many different strategies and techniques that we learn and use in early intervention so that the families can also interact in a way that will enhance language and speech development so that it will take on a more typical trajectory of development.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Mary Beth Lartz, who is a professor in the Illinois State University Department of Education, who is collaborating on a project to help aspiring educators working with infants and toddlers who are blind and deaf, and also to help their families. As we started out at the beginning talking about the need for more professionals in this area, how has the system worked now with the shortages that we have? In other words, with a system that seems overstressed and a shortage of these kinds of professionals, how are we falling short of getting these children and their families the help they need?
As I mentioned before, there's many families who are on waiting lists because their area does not have an early intervention provider that is credentialed to serve children who are deaf and hard of hearing or low vision or blind. And so we are preparing more individuals so that they will serve more and additional parts of the state. So, for example, the grant is targeting high-need geographic areas such as Southern Illinois, Chicago itself, the city itself, and also several counties that have no early intervention providers in these areas. So we're targeting geographically underserved areas. And once we get more people, then they can serve more families in, let's say they are willing to drive an hour from where they live. So then we have increased services to all of those families within that hour range that the provider is willing to travel. And so we get increased services with an increased numbers of families served with each student that we graduate from this program.
And you have been training educators for more than 30 years in this line of work. How much progress have we made in education in understanding blindness and lack of hearing and moving toward a normal lifestyle and normal capability for these young people?
In the last 10 years, I can say that I have seen, due to legislation and just knowledge of best practice, that we are working more and more with the families, especially in the area of birth to three intervention. And because we are becoming family-centered, the families are determining the goals for their own child. The family knows their routines, and they know what their child needs to be able to do to participate in their family. So I have seen much more success with young children because the parents are now feeling confident in interacting with their child, whereas before they were often afraid or they were waiting for a professional to interact with their child. Now the professionals are demonstrating and working with the family, but the family is actually doing the interaction and selecting the goals. And that way they are buying into it and they see the results and they're with the child all day, every day. And so there's much more increased development because of the increased family involvement.
That is ISU Professor Mary Beth Lartz with Eric Stock. The Limitless program will train specialists to work in southern and northwestern Illinois and inner city Chicago, where the shortages are most severe. There are 5 early intervention specialists serving 37 southern Illinois counties. Chicago has about 70 specialists serving a population of about 3 million people.